today.
You are a human rights activist, and human rights in Bahrain has been at the center of a lot of media attention. Let's go back, and I've talked to your colleague, let's go back to what happened after the events of the Pearl Roundabout. What were the protesters asking for?
First of all, I would like to talk about the complexity of the Bahrain human rights case. If you see, Bahrain is 700 kilometer size. It is population of 1.2 million people. Half of them are expatriates. So we are talking about 600,000 people, only the nationals. These nationals are from different religion, sect, and background. We have the Muslims, Sunni, Shi'i. We have Jewish. We have Christian. We have Hindu, and we have from different. So it's very small size of piece of land with a lot of congested people with a lot of different background and sex. So those in Pearl Roundabout people, they are part of Bahrain people. They are not representing the whole people of Bahrain. They are raising their requirements. Mainly it was focused on life standard and housing, which was everybody supporting. We are supporting this 100%. We stand with them. And we stand with anybody in Bahrain here is a legitimate requirement that is protecting and promoting human rights and make everybody in Bahrain, whether he's national or resident, that he enjoy his life with all protection under the rule of law.
So you've supported, as a rights activist, you've supported perhaps reforms to the Constitution, changes to housing laws. You found the initial demands of the protesters
Absolutely.
To be reasonable.
Absolutely. Any legitimate requirement, we stand with them, we support them. There's no any country in the world, they don't would like to have a strong government, a strong parliament. If there is any parliament or government need to be improved or changed, this is legitimate. Time, any nation from time to time, mm-hmm. they review their strategies and policies and achievement and rethink and change. So change is a good word, as everybody is support. So in Bahrain here, we support the change, we support any sect of Bahrain, but if any part of the people raise individual or group requirements that doesn't support or doesn't reflect the whole people of Bahrain requirement, it's risk our concern. So there must be sort of consent, there must be involvement, engagement of all people in Bahrain. And because there is a Sunni people has requirement, there is a people from Far East people, those who are now became Bahraini after three or four generations living in Bahrain, they have also requirements. So we need to look at all this requirement at the same level of attention and concern, and we take them into on board.
It became very apparent very quickly that Bahrain was different than some of the other countries we've seen with protests during this so-called Arab Spring, that there was a sectarian division that you didn't see in Tunisia, that you didn't see in Egypt. Shia saying that they were, although they were, are close to, I'll be fair, half the country's population, that they don't enjoy all the privileges that the Sunni enjoy. Is there any basis for their concern?
Just back to the first point you raised, if you see what happened in Tunisia, for example, what happened in Cairo and in Egypt, it was the whole nation requirement.
Yes.
They raised one voice, and everybody on that countries were on consent, on agreement of their requirement. This is why everybody recognizing and supporting their requirements. What happened in Bahrain is differently totally. It is a sectarian requirement that people want to take some advantage. And they want to take advantage of the waves that started from North Africa coming to the Gulf, and they found maybe this is the proper time to demonstrate in the street and ask for requirement. At the beginning, people of Bahrain, they were conscious, they were supporting, and the government, as we raised our concern also to the government, were able to listen to the people and give some promises and to do the changes.
Now, excuse me to interrupt, but initially, because the protest began on what, the 4th of February,
14.
They were Shia and Sunni. Were there Christians, Jews? Was it a mixed group of protesters?
It was only a Shia people
only
who
Shia.
Started in Bahrain. And it's only when the Sunni became proactive, maybe another and after that by 2 weeks, where the Sunni under the National Gathering Unity, raised their voices and they felt they're under threat, because the Shia under this protesting and this violence, they might be receive attention from the government, and the Sunni will not receive the same attention. So that's made a balance on the street, that there is a Sunni people who raise their voices also need to be considered in addition to the Shia people and also to those who are living in Bahrain from different sects. If you see our parliament in Bahrain, there is representation from all different religion, Jewish, Christian, Hindu, and also Bahraini Sunni and Shia, even the Shura Council. So that quota should be always there in any compromise, agreement and improvement in the country.
There are certainly exceptions, but what about the Shia who say, for example, that they don't enjoy the same socioeconomic power, the wasta, that you find among the Sunni population? Is there any basis for their concerns?
Well, anybody in Bahrain, he can raise his own concern. Whether this is individual concern or a group concern or a big group of people. If there is anything of that, there is constitutional channels. They need to raise this one and they will be received attention. There is a court, there is a parliament in Bahrain, there is Shura Council, there is big majlis for the Emir and for everybody in Bahrain. I don't see that door being closed for a long time. This is an open door. And we are enjoying this in Bahrain. So even for us, for human rights activists, every time we have any concern, we have a lot of channels to use. We have different tool of pressure to pass on our messages. And also, if they don't listen from the first time, we can repeat it second time, third time. But at the end, this voice will be received. But if this has been diversified to be politicized or sectarian requirement or any interference from outside Bahrain, something like regional interference in this will impact negatively on this requirement and making people seen as they are not a nationalist and they are not representing the whole country and they not receiving the right attention.
We have seen hundreds of arrests. I interviewed Maryam Al-Khawaja, Zainab, actually both, shortly after her father was arrested. Apparently a group of men, she felt they were Pakistani, not all of them spoke English, came in the late night hours. He was beaten. He was taken to jail for some time. The family didn't even know his whereabouts. I think his wife has been able to bring him clean clothes. He's standing trial. Does the punishment fit the crime?
Talking about the arrest in Bahrain here, if you talk about 14 February and thereafter the 4 weeks, there was no single arrest for the 4 weeks. At the time, the protesting and the arrest was peaceful, and the demonstration, although they take long time in the street, and as you know, there is no law in the world that a protester can occupy the street 24 hours, for days, weeks, months. All the laws in the world, whether it is in Bahrain or Gulf or Middle East or Europe, has a limit. They have to be from the sunset.
Certainly.
Sunset. To the sunrise to the sunset, and they must identify the protest location and the size and objective. But people stay on the street, occupy a very important and crucial road in Manama. This is the financial road in Manama, and destroy the economic benefits. Definitely this will not be received by the government as something as peaceful protesting. So if you see during the 4 weeks, there is no single arrest took place. After the 4 weeks, when the government received their responsibility under the pressure from the other people of Bahrain, the other group of people in Bahrain, that the government must act immediately because the business being damaged, people expect it is getting out of Bahrain. I met with my team from the National Association. We met a couple of ambassadors in Bahrain. Mr. Kumar, he's the ambassador of India and Bahrain, he told me in the first 2 weeks, more than 5,000 Indians left Bahrain. They left their families, their food, their monies. That's just one because they were under threat, under attack. The Pakistanis as well, the Bangladesh as well, by the protesters. So when the protester became a threat to the people of Bahrain, to the business, to the expatriates, as they are in the middle and the heart of Manama, the government must act.
I'm confused, because if this is a Shia Sunni divide, then the expatriate workers are from the subcontinent, Pakistan. Are they not Shia as well?
Well, the expatriates in Bahrain, they were under different game. The Shia people at the roundabout, they try to make high pressure on the government, and they try to make something that could be recognized by the international media. So when they attack the Far East people, like what happened, they killed three Bangladesh people. They are civilian people. They are working in the construction sector. They killed one Pakistani. They killed three Indian people. They straight away, their ambassador, their country, they stopped people from coming to Bahrain. It was received by the international media, Al Jazeera, BBC and others, what's happening in Bahrain. And this was a political dimension that taking things for the international. These people, they were never part of the game in Bahrain. They are never part of what is happening, whether it is in the protesting or the requirement, why they've been attacked.
All right, if we go back to the arrests, the mayor of Washington, D.C., I don't know if you read this recently, the mayor of Washington, D.C. recently protested an issue, sat down in the middle of a busy avenue here, and was arrested, and he spent the night in jail. The difference is that he was arrested openly, there was no beating. His family knew where he was. He had a chance to call a lawyer, be visited, and released. And I think what is causing the concern here is the fact that people are simply disappearing into the prison system. We're hearing cases of and seeing pictures of severe beatings. These are the human rights concerns that are being investigated on Capitol Hill tomorrow. And how do you, as a human rights activist, view these reports?
We have raised our concern, and we have communicated some messages to the government and to the police that any arrest, they must be happening under the law. In Bahrain, they've been given the notice of the arrest. They've been notified, they are the police, and they will take these detainees to the police stations. And also, they are giving the opportunity within 48 hours to call their family for 1 minute or 1 minute and a half. And they allowed them after within the first week to meet their lawyers. But as the detainees try to accelerate this issue and bring the focus and the light and the highlight on it, they will deny this. So we are also receiving a lot of claims from two different parties. But in case there is any violation to this by the policeman or any illegal arrest or any beating or any arbitration, we have channels at the court. They must raise a case against the policeman or whoever been received the threat or the violation. And the court in Bahrain, well known, they will make the punishment, the right punishment,
and
on those violators.
Have you made filed complaints with the government over any of these cases, and are any being investigated?
We are, as you know, we are in the center of this issues. We have met with the Minister of Interior. We have visited some of the jails. We have participated on the trials. Two members of our national institution participate on this. We have invited Red Cross with us to come and participate on this, witnessing the trials. We're also doing a big training and educational session for the law enforcement policemen. We're in discussing to do a lot of program to improve this one. We are designing this at the moment. Our discussion with the ministry, with the police, is ongoing. We feel some of these things we are discussing, it is not for the public publication, because we feel improving things is better than getting a quick findings over the media. So we found that improving the system, improving the procedures, as we see, is much better than just going to the media. Some other NGOs, they talk to the media more than what they achieve on the ground. They would like to make a media achievement rather than a practical and improvement on the procedures. And this is the difference between us and the other people working.
I assume you are referring to Mr. Nabil Rajab. I know he was, he is head of the Bahrain Center for Human Rights.
The dissolved.
Dissolved. Well, he's yeah, he was accused of posting, for example, fabricated images of a detainee, Mr. Ali Issa Sakhar, who was, he said was beaten in prison. There was quite a campaign against Mr. Rajab. He was accused of being a liar, of doctoring the photos. But in today's news from Bahrain, we read that five guards in that particular prison have been arrested and will be tried for beating Mr. Sakhar. So, in a sense, Mr. Rajab is vindicated. I mean, you seem to be saying that we're looking ahead and we're going to make improvements, and that's good. Is that also a way of admitting, yes, there were abuses?
Well, we welcome the government action, and we support that if they take any people abusing and violating the human being rights, this is the step towards the right. But with regards to Nabil Rajab, he didn't deny that these pictures he put and he tweets was a little bit fabricated and little bit used different in Photoshop things to make it look much harder.
The man died.
The man, yeah, the sign on his body, he made it little bit by the Photoshop to look much greater. He didn't deny this one. He said only the lighting and the different usage was showing different. But definitely him and like other people like him, like Mariam Al-Khawaja and some others moving around with a lot of accurate information, was using some fabrication in news. This is not a human rights promotion. This is not a human rights protection. A human rights protection is working with the victims, with the people, with the police, with all the system and law, and work hard to promote things, but not to destroy the links with the police, with the laws and system. Then how you can work with them to improve things?
If
the life will be much difficult then.
And there's been so much attention in the media, and some of it cast Bahrain in a less than ideal light. If there's any doubt, why not allow an independent commission to come in from the outside and investigate? It's been done before.
The thing we feel in Bahrain here, as we have a lot of NGOs, as you know, we have NGOs, more than 420 NGOs in Bahrain, different sects, different people, different background. We have the medical societies and doctors, independents from different. And also we have a very independent judge and court system. We feel in Bahrain that these mechanism is enough at the moment to do, and never, none of any different part accords these directions that they are not they are injustice or they are standing with the government or against. But we feel if we cannot do this in-house in Bahrain, then we might request an additional international. But the international, when they come inside, they will make the things more complicated, and they will be making the case more difficult, and this will not work together for improving things. It will make things more regional and international rather than it's a local things. And we are inside Bahrain. We feel we know each other. Bahrain society is forgiven. We can solve our problems. We understand each other's. we know our ideologies, some other people's ideologies, and we are in Bahrain, I think, optimistic that this what happened in Bahrain will be vanished very soon, because there is a lot of people in Bahrain which they have capabilities and understanding that what happened cannot be accepted by everybody, and they work hard to overcome this one. And I think what we hear today, that the doctors and nurses been released today from the detention and waiting their trial, so they give them more opportunity to go and live with their families before the trial instead of taking them. And we welcome this step by the government. This has happened today, just 2 hours before we come to the studio. It's also that any attempt to push everybody to come to the dialogue table, it is welcome. We support the dialogue, that people come to the table and raise any concern. The government at some stages open that dialogue. The dialogue is still open. And we will be working hard with any attempt that push the crisis into a solution that make everybody in Bahrain, Sunni, Shia, Muslims, Christian, and others, feel comfortable and agreed on.
Mr. Al-Dosseri, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you very much for having me today.